Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that today you let us to just sit here and be able to be calm and focused on your Word, that it's something where it just becomes a part of us and who we are and how we live our lives. And Lord, I just ask that you bring us all peace and joy as we're gathered here today. You help us to find ways to serve one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here's where it gets different. All right? So you can be seated if you want, because like I said, it's different. All right? We are not going to go to worship yet. What we're going to do is... who knows? We're going to Fine Arts. Yeah. Youth group. Yeah? All right. So, for those of you who didn't go, woohoo, clap and go, we're going to Fine Arts. All right? So, we have a couple students that are going to be going. Two of them are going to be doing photography, I believe, and one will be doing a short sermon. So, Fine Arts, we get to do... we get to have take the youth up to Phoenix, where they will kind of have a competition and get to like use their gifts. Right? They have a category for pretty much anything: comedy, photography. There's poetry, all kinds of stuff. Right? So one of our youth, and I'm gonna see if I can say this right, because I can say Lonnie, I can say Anna Lonnie. Vidal Bojorquez. Did I do that okay? All right. So she's going to come up and she's going to give us a short sermon. And it's going to be what she's going to do up in Phoenix, right? All right.
Okay. So the title of my short sermon is God Is Worth It. This is just like Abe said, for Fine Arts. So we're going to start off with why I chose this. So the reason why I chose this topic was because people sometimes don't know how much God is worth it. Like, a lot of people are just like, oh, well, He's not worth it. But my question for the sermon is, do you guys know how much God is worth it? So... my first verse is Acts 20, verse 24. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Amen. So the reason I started with this verse was because you might feel God isn't worth it, but life is worth nothing without God in your life. So one of the things that I hear a lot too is, you might lose a friendship, but He's worth it. You might have to go through the pain to get to the peace or the joy, but He's worth it. So He's always worth it in the end. So that brings me to my next verse, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that for whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse shows how much God is worth it. That He gave His one and only Son for us so our sins could be forgiven. And He believes that we're worth it to Him, so that we have to believe that He is worth it in all. So when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, I was very upset at God. I was like, You're not worth it. Like, You let me get sick. This isn't fair. But then He started to show me that I'm still able to do everything. I'm still able to do everything like perfectly normal. And a lot of people were also telling me during that time where I was like, well, He's not worth it. They were telling me that, like, well, clearly God isn't worth it because He hasn't healed you yet, or He's not real because He hasn't healed you yet. And for a little bit, I believed that because I was like, well, why hasn't He healed me yet? But then, like, everything just changed. Like, he showed me that he has something bigger for me, that even if he healed me, like, somebody told me that, like, he wouldn't put me through something I couldn't handle. So that God was ready for this, and that if he had already healed me, maybe people would have thought, well, maybe you didn't have diabetes. Because a lot of the times it's supposed to be like permanent. And so I believe that God has something bigger for me, better for me, for going through all this pain and things that I've been through. He has something better, and it's going to be worth it in the end. And so in the end, God is still worth it. I, at the beginning, thought he wasn't, but now I still believe that he's worth it, and he's going to be worth it no matter what. So that brings me to my next verse, which is Acts 2, verse 4. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And you guys might think, like, how does this tie into your sermon about he is worth it? But the next verse is Acts 2, verse 12 through 13. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. These two verses stood out to me because some people were fascinated, but others were mocking. We're mocking them. But this shows that people are going to mock you because you believe in God or speak in tongues in public or like all these different things. But he's worth it. He is worth being talked about. He is worth being sometimes even embarrassed. He is worth it because he telling the word of God is worth it. So then everybody else gets to know. And those people that are probably mocking you are the ones that don't believe that he's worth it. They don't believe he's real. They don't believe he's like gonna be our way. They just are like, oh, well, you guys are crazy because God isn't real. But like, so that's why he's worth it in the end, no matter what. So that brings me to finishing up. So just let God and let him show you how worth it he is, because you guys will definitely start to see a big change in your lifestyle when you let God just show you how worth it he is.
Amen. How many of you guys could imagine seeing yourselves at that age standing up here? All that says that... you know what? With all the negativity that we keep hearing about the youth in this nation, we're in good hands, guys. God has already prepared this young generation to lead. And so when you start seeing, you know, what you just saw this morning, you're blessed. You're blessed to know that, you know, all this stuff is not going to affect younger kids in our generation. So this morning we're going to go into communion. And every month, the first Sunday of every month, we take corporate communion. And as the servers are passing out the elements this morning, also I just want to make a quick comment. They were also prepared by Lonnie and my granddaughter. So you're going to have some elements prepared by young kids. So we are blessed to have this youth group in our church. But anyway, as they pass out the elements, when we're done with the communion, you will pass them to each side of your row there, and they'll pick up the little cups. The little cups are put into one, the top one having the bread, the bottom having the juice part of it. And so you might have to work at trying to separate them. But have fun doing that. And that's part of the challenge. But anyway, as they are passing that out, I am going to read out of Isaiah And I'm just going to read out of Isaiah 53, 4, 5, and 6. And of course, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53 is all prophecy about Jesus. Jesus is coming and what he would go through. So I just want to read this small part. And it says, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Many, many years prior to the coming of Jesus, it was already prophesied as to why Jesus would come and what he would do. And just to remember that his time on that cross, his work on that cross, was the completion of all that had been prophesied. It is finished, okay? So as we take the elements, just reflect on what he has done for us. So what I'm going to ask you to do, as soon as everybody's got their elements, is I'm going to ask you to stand, if you can. And I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes as I read the prayer, okay? And just focus. What the word says is that when we do communion, that we do it in remembrance. Remembrance. And that's what I want you to focus on. Just remember what he did for each one of us. So I'm going to pray. It says, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing and for the healing of all your children. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beating that you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive. Please take the bread. Then as you take a cup, thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is in preservation, healing, and wholeness. Please drink the wine. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done, Lord. For every step that you took, Lord. And as you were in that garden, and you said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Help us to say that same thing, Lord. Not our will, but your will. We thank you and we praise you.
This morning as I was coming to church, the Lord said, wait upon the Lord. And I thought, okay, to wait means to hope, to anticipate, and to trust. To hope and trust in the Lord requires faith, patience, humility, meekness, long-suffering. So there's this song that goes, wait upon the Lord. Come on. How does it go? and you will mount up with wings as eagles. He is our strength. So as we wait upon the Lord, we are being in His presence. He's going to lead us and guide us by His Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, God is, I think the whole point of the song list that He gave this morning is that He's never done with you. As long as you're here, there's something He's doing. There's something He's got. There's something that He has for you. That whether it's in the waiting or if you're in it, it doesn't matter. If you go after God for what He's doing in your life, He's more than able to go above and beyond what we ever ask, what we ever think.
Oh, you don't want me to talk this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know that God is doing some great things? Amen. Yeah, and you know, in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. Can you say amen? How many of you know that God is resurrecting you every day? If you'll allow Him to give you something every day, He's going to bring something to you that's new and clear and clean. Can you say amen? How many like being clean? Can you know that God has cleansed you and washed you and cleansed you? Is that a word? He has cleansed you and washed you, hallelujah, by the sacrifice of His Son. How many of you appreciate the blood of Jesus? Oh, man, I'll tell you what, you better appreciate God's blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Can you say amen to that? He is great. He can do what nobody else can do. There's nobody like Him. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad He died for you? Aren't you glad He resurrected? On the third day, He rose from the dead. Can you say amen to that? Whoo, hallelujah. We've got next week, we're going to have a baptism. It's going to be Baptism Sunday. How many of you want to be rebaptized? Come on.
Yes.
One, two. No. Come on, man. Whoever wants, I mean, you want to get rebaptized. Sometimes we run into things, we do things that maybe we shouldn't be doing. Does anybody relate to that?
Oh, yeah.
No, none of you do you? Yeah, y'all can't. Yeah, say, no, we can't relate, Pastor. Well, I'll tell you what, we all can relate to that. And sometimes just another, say, you know what, I'm just going to rededicate my life. I'm just going to say one more time, Lord, I am going to. See, the baptism means when you go underwater, you died and you were buried. Is that right? You died and you were buried. Pastor John wants to hold you 5 minutes. But I won't let him. just kidding, Pat. All right, 3 minutes. Yeah. but Pastor Stella said something the other night in Wednesday night service. She said that when you come up out of the water, you take in that breath of air, and sometimes it's a big breathing in. Can we just say that would be your first breath as a new creation? Can we just say that? And all of a sudden, things are brand new again. Things are washed. They're cleansed, man. You are brand new. You're ready to go. Can you say amen? And sometimes the baptism, sometimes if we just think about what God is doing, that He is resurrecting our lives, if you'll allow Him to, every day, every morning, you go to God and you tell Him, God, I just need something today. Will you give me something today? I can imagine saying, well, sure I will. How many say amen to that? God is a good God. He's going to say, yeah, I'll give you what you need. Amen? Yeah. How many of you like when God gives you what you need? I don't know. Sometimes it's not that good. Can you say amen? But He knows you need it. Can you say amen to that? Because He's a good God. He's got something in store for you. He's taking you someplace that you, if you just trust Him, trust in Him and watch what He does, you'll find that God is doing some great things in your life. Amen? You are created to touch the world at this time today. Not tomorrow, today. Today is the day. Is that what the Word of God says? Today is the day that the Lord has made. You're not in tomorrow. Are you? You're not in tomorrow. You're not in yesterday. Some of you might be thinking about what you did yesterday, but you're not in yesterday. You're in today. Today is a day. Today's a time. Now is the time to do what God has for you to do. Can you say amen to that? Always walk in that, all right? Yeah. What's the name of your sermon? My Way or the Highway? How do you say amen to that? I like that. My Way or the Highway? She's going to come preach to you in just a minute, but I'm excited this morning because I watched my granddaughter do something that a lot of kids will not do. Is that all right? Yes. I mean, folks, I'm going to just say this, that your sons and your daughters have been prophesied over by a prophet long time. They're going to prophesy. You're a prophet named, was it Joel or was it Isaiah? Who was that? It was Joel. He prophesied that your son in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your old man will, and your young man will see visions. Amen. How many of you like seeing visions? I'm still in the seeing vision stage. What do you guys think? Come on. Yeah. And he says your children will prophesy. I'm in my, my grandpa years of prophetic utterances. Can you say amen to that? With my granddaughter this morning, I'm in my grandfather year of prophetic utterances. Folks, we've got no idea how great the kingdom of God is in the earth because we've never seen it before, but God's unveiling this thing, okay? It's his way, which is the highway. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I better let my daughter speak because I... come on, Rebecca. You, yeah. Yeah, come on up. Got your coffee. I love you, mija. You got a mic?
So, the title of my sermon is My Way or the Highway. You know, we should be setting our eyes on things above, right? And so we're going to go, I want to just start with a story and then we'll go into the sermon. But if you want to turn with me to Numbers 22, we're going to start at verse 5. And this is a story I think a lot of you might know, but it's a story of Balaam and the talking donkey. So it says, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, and I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Sorry, I'm going to switch here because it's easier for me. Okay. Peradventure I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I want them, he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, and thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, and Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, and I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the donkey to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, whether to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the donkey said unto Balaam, am I not thine donkey upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So there's a lot in this little story, but what God really showed me when I was going through this story was that, you know, it was just a little wording that was off, right? But it was a big deal for him to either go or not go, right? God told him, if they return to you, then go with them. But Balaam took that as like, okay, and got up and just went. He didn't wait for them to come back. And he got ready to go, and God was like, nope, that's not what I told you. But even when he continued to go, God tried redirecting him, right? And he put the angel in the way. And, you know, even as the story goes on, it's amazing because the donkey's even like, hey, I've been your donkey for how long? And this is the way you're treating me? Like, when have I ever done this to you? And isn't that true with life, how we can be sometimes? We can have grown up in church. We can have known all the things that God's telling us, all the things he's spoken to us before. And sometimes when we really get in this way of the way we're going, we just don't even realize that God's trying to flag us down and be like, hey, that's not what I told you to do. Like, I'm trying to give you something, but you're too busy looking at what you're wanting to do or where you're already going that you're not even realizing that I'm speaking to you in the midst of it. And that's exactly what was happening with Balaam. He was just, and the truth is we don't even know, right? It could have been the, oh, I'm going to get all this money and all of these goods. Or it could have been that he just really wanted to go and be the help, right? But whatever it was, he needed to look at what God was telling him to do. And he went to him and he asked him. And when God gave him something, he still didn't follow it all the way. Yeah, it was wording, but it was wording that was important. It's what God was telling him to do. He didn't tell him, hey, get up and go. He told him, if they come back to you, then go. And that's the thing. We can function like this a lot of times, right? We can really go after God for something, ask him questions. Hey, like, should I do this? Should I not do it? God, what's going on? I don't know. And sometimes if we're not getting the answer we want, we assume what's the best direction to go. But we have to start learning that waiting is so important. That moment of, no, I've not gotten an answer. So if I've not gotten an answer, I've not got a next step. See, when things are happening in our life, sometimes we think like we have to make a move, right? Trust me, in business, I've felt this. Like we've had an opportunity and it's like, oh, that's a good opportunity. That's a really great opportunity. And I think we're going to take it. But then we're praying and we're like, okay, God, like what's going on? Hey, like, so is this good or is it not? And then that's the thing is the world really can make you feel right. Like, oh, but if you don't take it, you're going to lose it. But sometimes it's the losing it that God wants you to do, right? Sometimes it's the, you know, we were talking to our kids one time and our kids kept asking me for something and I told them no. And then they were like, asking again and asking again. And so I stopped answering because I was like, I gave you an answer. So no, like, I'm not going to answer anymore. And sometimes with God, that's how it is, right? Like we've been given an answer. Sometimes the non-answer is an answer, right? Sometimes not getting the yes means it's a no. Sometimes if you're going after God and you're asking him, you're asking him and you're asking him and your deadline's coming up, maybe that means that deadline's, it's okay, we're passing. But see, we take things into our own hands a lot of times, right? We say, okay, we can work this out. And I think for some people, it's even this thought of like, well, if the door opened up, then you'll bless me as I go through. But we have to learn that we got to go after him when it's all things, even the small things. There's sometimes, right, when things happen in our life and they come against us that we're really like, oh, God, what do I do? What should I say? God, I need your help, right? Those moments really tend to be where people turn to God like, I need your help with this, or I don't know what to do with this. But it's even in the little things that we'll find that God leads us in making decisions at work, in making decisions with your family, in, you know, decisions in relationships, all of those things. God works in the little things too. He gives us things all the time. He'll give us direction no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening. But we have to learn to listen to that direction too. And that direction comes from spending time with him, communing with him on a regular basis. It's the ability to quiet everything else and listen to that still small voice, right? And a lot of that comes in the one-on-one time that you have with God. Because the Holy Spirit really does work on his behalf and he reveals things to us. And that revealing is what gives us the ability to know where we're going and what we're doing, even when we can't see it happening. That's the amazing part, is that, yeah, we can make decisions based on what we think, but we don't know how it'll turn out. But when we allow God to make decisions for us, we know that the outcome's going to be good, because he told us all things work together for good. So we know that even if it feels like passing up that opportunity is going to hurt, we should know that God has something better on the other side of it. That there's a reason he has you passing up that opportunity. See, God knows what's happening in the background of everything, even when you have no idea what's happening. See, we see physically what's in front of us, but he sees everything. He sees it all. He sees how the people over here are doing this and it's going to affect that. He sees how your decision over here might affect this down the road. He sees every single thing, not just in the now, but in the future too. Yep. Which is why it makes our decision making important when we're listening to him, because we've got to understand that just because we're looking at now, he's looking at forever, and he's setting you up for good things. He's getting you in a position that's going to make you greater, not less. He tells us that he makes us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. So there should never be any reason that we think by doing something that he's told us that it's going to harm us. But we gotta learn how to listen to begin with. So let's go to Isaiah 58. And starting at verse 8. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to be to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. Can I just say, I really like that. I've never caught that in the past. Like, I think I just kind of read it and didn't really, but thy darkness shall be as the noonday. That's not darkness, right? And that's what he's telling you. He's telling you, like, I'm not going to even give you the darkness, because I want to put light, right? So, okay. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause these to and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He is telling you, go after me. And as you go after me and you put all these other things aside, it's blessing. And that's exactly what it is, right? As we go after God, see, we feel like we have to work for what God's doing. But so much of what God's doing in our life is just Him speaking through us, right? And as He speaks to us, you'll notice like He begins to show you things in your life that weeds out some things and puts some things in and really moves you in new places and gives you new things. And that's the thing, is that as those things happen in your life, as you're busy going after what God has for you and what He's saying to you, He's already putting you on a path. It's not because of what you're doing by yourself. It's not because you're fixing problems in your life and you're changing things and you're making moves and all of this stuff. It's not that. It's because as you go after God and He begins to show you things in your life, you begin to walk a little different and show different things. And this revelation begins to happen in your life that then sets you on a whole new path. See, it's why the relationship is so important. It's why the communion is so important, because it's a building up. It's Him giving you things and speaking to you so that He can lead you into what He has for you. So let's go to 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. And it says, so verse 11 says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of, I don't know what that word is, of the, what is that? Okay, presbyter, there you go. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. See, it's a going after God. It's learning and knowing who He is, going after Him on a regular basis, and then allowing all of those things in your life to just shine and come out. Because that's the thing, is God has things that He's wanting to show you. And as you allow those things to work in your life and not just be words, not just be something that's heard or something that, oh, like I saw that at some point, but where you actually put it into action in your life, you'll begin to see His working in everything that's happening. See, it really is a weeding out process, right? That's where that transformation comes from. But I think when we, a lot of times the church, I think, thinks of it as like, you gotta fix these things to have this thing that God wants to give you. No, you've been given all of that by grace. You've been given it all already. He died on the cross for you. He gave His life and He washed those sins. And now it's the gift that He's given you of the Holy Spirit that gives you so much more, and that you can commune daily and hear from Him on a regular basis. Not just go to Him and not hear anything, but go to Him and actually get a response. Get something from Him. See, that's the thing. This part is what's so important for us. It's not just church. See, Pharisees were church. They knew the rules. They knew all of the doctrine. They knew all of, they had all of the answers when it came to knowing the words that were written, right? But it's also the Pharisees that completely failed to see what was right in front of them. And honestly, like, as I read some stories this week, I was just, I really felt sad. It's like, they had this amazing thing that was happening all around them. They literally got to see all of the miracles, all of the God just building relationships, God talking to people, all of that. They literally were there living it, but were so blind to what was happening. We don't want to be blind. See, we don't want to just come to church and do church and be here. We want to come and we want to meet with God. We want to do what he's telling us to do. We want to move when he's telling us to move. We want to do exactly what he says to do all the time, even if it seems like the most off thing ever. Because that's the thing, is how many times can you go back and look in the Bible and see so many times that God did things not at all the way everybody thought should be done, but still had amazing outcome because it was his plan all along. Not everything will always make sense to us, especially when we're looking, when we're busy looking at the world around us or things that are happening, you know, with even like, say, our families on a regular basis or our job on a regular basis, whatever it might be. It may not seem like things are working out the way that we want them to work out or happening the way that we think they should happen. Or even sometimes when God's giving us steps to take, we feel like, what? That doesn't seem like the right step. But if we learn to, regardless of what's happening around us, keep our eyes focused on him, he'll always lead us in the right direction. He'll always supply the need too. See, that's the thing, right? Physically, what do we worry about? We worry about, I don't know, let's just throw some out there. We worry about finances, right? Do I have the money to do it? Can I do it? Will I be able to do it? We worry about, you know, well, what if it has to do with like, I think I might lose my job. Then we're back to finances again on that one. But that's the thing. Or relationships, right? If you feel like you're going after God for something and you're feeling like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is going to help my relationship. I will guarantee that if you go after God for things, he's going to work it together for good all the time. Even if it's not the outcome we necessarily think, he will always work together what he's doing in our life when we're listening and we're following the leading that he's giving us. These areas is where we start to function the way the church is supposed to function. When we're making moves, not based on what we think we should do, but making moves based on what God's telling us to do. When we're speaking to people in regular everyday life because God unctioned us to and we did it. Or when we're just shining bright because God's changing us and making things new in us and giving us revelation, and it's apparent to everybody around you that the way you handle things is completely different than the person next to you. See, that's the thing. It's all just going after God and allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with us. And then all these things, they're added. So let's go to Proverbs 4:1. And it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." See, same thing. Take in what I'm saying to you. That's what he's telling us. Don't just pull all in the wisdom, but pull in understanding. See, have you ever had a time where God revealed something to you and it was like, you just felt this like on fire feeling of like, oh my gosh, like I never saw this before. And this is so amazing. And you're super pumped and you're super excited. And then you go and you talk to somebody and they're like, yeah, okay. Like I have, but that's the thing. See, that's why the one-on-one relationship is so amazing, because God literally deals with us as individuals and where we're at and what he's speaking to us and what he's doing in our life might be completely different than maybe what he's speaking to Aaron about, but it doesn't mean that we're not on the same page. It just means that maybe I've been revealed something that is going to be revealed to Aaron, or maybe Aaron had revealed something that I don't quite understand yet. But see, the Holy Spirit unlocks secrets to us constantly. As we go after him, he shows us something new. He gives us something new. He'll unlock the secrets of the kingdom for us. But we got to be spending the time with him for him to give us those things. See, there's times where maybe people are going to church and they feel like, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, why aren't you hearing what I'm saying? Why am I not seeing anything? What's happening? When all along God's going, I'm here. I'm trying to give you things and I'm speaking to you. But we've got to listen. We've got to want to spend the time. We've got to want to know what God's saying. We've got to spend time in the closet. Going after God one-on-one, not worried about what's happening around us, not worried about what's happening with life or anything else, just saying, God, I just want to know what you're doing. I just want to know you. I want to go after you and everything. I want to know what you're saying for me to do. See, we can continue to make a lot of the wrong decisions. Just like in the story with Balaam and the donkey. He was going. And even though there was an obstacle in front of him, he was still going. But that's the thing, is when God opened his eyes, or when the angel opened his eyes and he could see him, it was, his whole demeanor changed, right? Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. If you don't want me to go, I won't go. But see, that's the thing, is it's kind of what we do, right? Like, he made a decision, he went with it, God tried to redirect him, and then he was like, well, I'll go this way instead. God tried to redirect him again. Well, let me try this way over here. God redirected him again. See, it's the same thing that happens with our lives a lot of times. God can be showing you, I want you to go this way. And as we're taking a pass this way, he's trying to turn us back again. And then what happens is there's a lot of times where we get frustrated, like, God, why is this not working? And he's like, because I'm trying to work it for you, but you're not listening. See, it's the relationship. He'll give you every step. He'll show you where to go. He'll tell you what to do. But we got to spend the time with him to allow him to speak in our lives and give us things and actually unlock those secrets for us. So let's go to Deuteronomy 5, verse 3. Actually, I'm going to save this verse. Can we go to Matthew 13? Starting at verse 10. It says, and this is Jesus, this in this area, he's talking a lot of parables, right? And so it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. See, he explains it right here. It's the same thing we were just talking about with the Pharisees, right? He's given us a gift in the Holy Spirit, that he's given us the ability to see and hear, and not just those, but understand. See, that's the thing, is in here, he talks about how they can't. But I really like too, I don't know if your Bible shows, but in my Bible, it shows that where he's talking about, like, if they're seeing, or if they're hearing, right? But it's very possessive. Like, it italicizes it, where it's like, see, it's in their own understanding, which is not giving them anything. But if they give themselves to me, then he gives them sight. He gives them hearing. He gives them understanding. See, that's the thing. This is, again, the importance of the communion between us and the Father, right? Is that just like in there, the possessive, if it's just us, if it's me and it's not God, then who knows? It could all go wrong, right? But that's the thing. With God, there's understanding. With God, there's revelation. With him, there's all the things that we need to function in the kingdom. to go after him, to press in, and to not just have everything like everybody else does, but to have the kingdom, that life more abundantly. See, we're not meant to ever operate like the world. We're meant to operate in the kingdom. Amen. We're meant to show something different. It's the reason that he tells you that you are the salt and the light. It's because, not because of you, but because of who's in you. Amen. And that as he deals with you and he does things in your life, he gives you something that's so powerful. It's a gift so great in your life that it literally opens your eyes to a completely different world, right? And it's the kingdom of God. It's knowing that where you feel like you can't go any further, he's got more. It's knowing that when you feel like doctors are telling you you're sick, that's not the final word. It's knowing that these burdens you've been carrying, they're lifted. That the chains that you feel like you're stuck in, you're not stuck. I hear people talking all the time about, oh, well, I want to change generational curses and I'm going to do it because I'm not going to do this. And it's like, you know what? Just tell God that's not going to be anymore and go after him for what he has, because he will make sure that it's broken. He'll give you all the things that you're needing, but we got to go after him for these things. See, this is probably, I love reading this because it's so true in the sense of revelation. See, even if we're just coming to church and reading words on a Bible, I'm gonna specifically talk about my dad. But he told us all the time growing up, I grew up in the Catholic Church. I was an altar boy. I knew all of this stuff. He knew all of that, but he never really knew God. See, that's the thing, is when you actually come to God and you allow him in your life, it's a complete change. It's not just going through the motions of church. It's not just saying like, yeah, I'm here on this Sunday and I'm doing good. It's actually allowing him to work in your life all the other days as well. Building a relationship that's one-on-one and allowing it to grow. Allowing God to give you new things, give you revelation, and show you where he's taking you, because he's got great things for you. If you think you have goals and you have dreams, he's got greater goals and greater dreams. He's got things that he wants to unlock for you that you're not even aware of yet. He's got gifts and things that he's placed inside of you. And sometimes we don't even know those gifts are there yet. But God will begin to show you things, and he'll begin to give you things, and he'll begin to place things in your life, and you'll just see these things all work together for good. Because when you're walking where God has you walking, when you're doing what he has you doing, it's the best thing you could do. So I know a lot of you guys have seen, maybe not all of you have seen The Chosen, but there's a clip specifically in The Chosen that I really, really like. And it is kind of a little bit of a long clip, so we'll play it like right now. But it's where Jesus meets with Nicodemus. And he kind of goes over some of these things that we're talking about. Well, I mean, a lot of them. It's a really amazing clip. The truth is like you could get so many different things out of it, but he really talks a lot about this. And I think it's something that really stuck with me even the first time I saw it. So I really wanted to share it with you guys so that you could kind of see how it relates to this.
Welcome, Nicodemus. Don't be alarmed. He's waiting for you. I asked the owner of this house for more lanterns.
They said they would draw attention.
Yes, I imagine they would.
The human eye is drawn to light. We can't help it. It just happens.
There are many things we're drawn to without our thinking or our ability to explain why. Thank you for agreeing to meet.
Thank you for trying to help Mary when you did.
It was no help.
You were meant to be there.
Me? So I could fail miserably at an exorcism in the Red Quarter?
If you had not been there that day, would you be on this roof tonight?
I don't know where to start. I have so many questions.
Shall we sit first?
Oh, yes. Of course. Slums.
Mm.
Many wandering preachers have succeeded in gathering crowds with their rhetoric and fiery tone.
I've heard a few of them over the years myself.
So you know the type.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never heard anyone tell a paralytic to get up and walk, much less it actually happened.
So what is your conclusion?
I believe you are not acting alone. No one can do these signs you do without having God in him. Only someone who has come from God.
And how is that belief going over in the synagogue? Which is why we are here at this hour. What else?
What have you come here to show us?
A kingdom.
That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? Conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
How can these things be?
Ah, a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind?
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the Spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes, and I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents and they were dying.
But
God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Then from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loves the world in this way. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome. It's all about sin.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him. It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
Shh. When I met Lilith, Mary, that day, I told my wife and my students, I said, she was beyond human aid. Only God could have healed her. And then I saw her. And here you are. The healer. My whole life, I have wondered if I would see this day.
Follow me, and you'll see more. Join me and my students. In 2 days' time, we leave Capernaum. Come see the kingdom I am bringing into this world.
But I can't.
You have a position in the Sanhedrin. You have family. You are getting advanced in years. I understand. But the invitation is still open.
Invitation to what exactly? To lead a nomadic life? To give up who I am?
It's true. There is a lot you would give up. But what you would gain is far greater and more lasting.
Is this another one of your born-again mysteries?
Maybe. I know mysteries aren't easy for a scholar. Think about it. Take your time. On the morning of the fifth day, we leave, and we'll meet by the well in the southern quarter at dawn.
Is the kingdom of God?
Your heart tell you?
My heart is swollen with fear and wonder. It can tell me nothing except that I am standing on holy ground.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
See, I really enjoy this clip. It makes me cry every time. But because Jesus came to this earth and he literally gave us a glimpse of all the things that we were created to do too. And what seemed so difficult, I love that he talks, and it's in the scripture too, but I love how it talks about how it goes back to Moses and the raising of the serpent and how it healed the people just by looking at it. And I like that he says, it's as simple as this. That's the thing, is God already, or Jesus already paid the price. And through it, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is here to do exactly what all of this was just talking about. It's opening up our eyes, our understanding, all of that, so that we could see the kingdom of God, so that we could see what he's doing, so that we could see how he's moving, so we could feel the effects. Because that's the thing, is all of these things have been given. They've all been given. And it is something for us to possess. And when we take it in our life and we actually allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, we begin to see things, right? Like, that's the cool thing about Nicodemus. I like how in the very beginning it talked about how he felt like him not being able to help with the exorcism and it failing was a failure. But God told him, you were meant to be there. But that's the thing. Why was he meant to be there? He was meant to be there because him seeing what he saw stirred something in him, did something in him, and brought him to the moment where he was. And that's exactly what God's doing in our life. Even when you feel like maybe something failed, or it's not going right, or it's not happening the way I planned, or it's not any of those things, go to God. Because he is not letting you fail in anything. And he is setting you up for all of the things that he has for you. So if we can go to Deuteronomy 5:31, it's actually your power verse. It says, but as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you, and ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. In this area, he's talking to Moses. He's giving him the commandments. But it's the same exact thing that we've been talking about. Taking what God's given us, listening to it, learning from what he's telling us to do, and taking in our life and just going after God, not turning to the right, not turning to the left, not trying to make a way ourselves, not trying to figure it out ourselves, but just going after what God has for us. See, we don't have to make it more difficult. It is simple. Even when you're unsure, or if somebody's not saved, and you're not sure what the next step is, go after God. He will always answer you. He will always, he's waiting for you. It's the reason the Bible says that he left the 99 to go after the one. Because every single one of us are important to him. And he has something specifically for us individually. But we got to go after him. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, we allow, it's like a key unlocking a door. We allow for all these secrets to just begin to open up. Because now it's not just reading words in a book. It's the Holy Spirit moving through us and them coming alive in our life. It's where you begin to see what he's speaking to you about. It's why the Bible talks to us about the word being alive. It is alive. It's why when you read one thing one day and the next time read something, you make it something completely different from it, because God will be speaking to you through it and unlocking things that you haven't seen before so that he can give you things in your life that he's wanting to give you. So I just want to encourage you this morning, go after him. Take his words and don't just let them be words in your life, but go after him. Allow him to reveal things to you, to give you things, to show you things in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit. Church, get to know that still small voice. Get to know it. So that when it's speaking, you hear it. You understand it. You know that it's him speaking. And that happens as you spend time. As you go after God and you press in, you're going to know when he's speaking to you. You're going to see it in the word. You're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. You're going to see him moving in your life. You're going to see things changing. And you will see the effects. It's an amazing gift that he's given us. So I just want to encourage you, go after him. Dig in deep, dive in, and don't stop. Let him keep revealing new things all the time. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mom. Is it off? Is it on? Hello. Hey, let's all stand. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hey, don't forget next week, we got the baptism Sunday. So anybody that wants to be baptized, we will get you wet. Amen. How many of you know it's a good thing? Praise God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the word, Father, that came through Rebecca this morning. But Lord, God, we ask you, Lord, that you would just continue to touch our hearts by your Spirit, Father. Holy Spirit, speak to us, lead us, and guide us, Lord. We thank you for it. We need it. We need you, Lord. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning. We'll see you next week. Bring a towel.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.